Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the CAM Podcast is brought to you by O'Neill's Classic Archery. With us today, we have fresh off all kinds of gold medal in Antalya, podium finishes at the ASAs. We have Madison Cox. Madison, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Madison, let's start off with Antalya World Cup, your first World Cup that you go to. You go out there and win a team gold. How's that feel?
It was kind of surreal, like crazy, like really exciting. Definitely the last there was exciting.
Yeah, it was you, Danelle Lutz, and Cassidy Cox. I don't know. So the three of you, yeah, went out there and won. I think there were two USA team golds, one in recurve mixed team and then the one for yourselves. Yeah. I mean, that's the medal. Tell me about the medal. I don't really know what they look like.
Well, it's upstairs, but it's different than the ones in the past. Like, normally the World Archery ones were like, I don't know, they're different. They're pretty cool. So I was super happy. Going into the tournament, I kind of didn't have any expectations as it was my first World Cup. And I was super homesick the first part of the trip because it was my first, like, big, long trip without my dad. And we're pretty close. So I was definitely homesick the first half of it. And then once we started shooting, like, it got better. And the gold medal definitely made it worth it.
How long were you away? How long of a trip was that?
We left from Arizona Cup on the 15th, and then we came back the following Sunday, I think the 23rd. I got home like at midnight that night, basically.
How about that? So, yeah, so that's like over a week.
Over a week, yeah. Yeah, and being in Arizona the week before that just made it like extra long.
So sticking with that style of archery, that's, you know, that's what you shoot at the USATS. 50 meters is what you're shooting, outdoor target. You do that as well as 3D. Is that something you see yourself sticking with, that USA archery style of archery?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I definitely have a stronger background in 3D, as that's what I started in high school. And, like, that's, like, coming into college, like, that was my main, like, that's all I shot, basically. And then college introduced me to the 50-meter side of things. I definitely think I'll stick with it. I definitely think I still have a lot to learn, especially, like, in the wind shooting. But I definitely think I'll stick with it.
Am I correct that I remember you shooting some of those with more of like a hunter setup?
Yes. So I actually just switched to magnification and long bars last November. So I made the World Cup team with a bow hunter setup, basically. Like, I shot zero magnification and short bars at all the USATs except Bucca and Senior Nationals last year.
And of course, you know, no magnification with a pin, I'm guessing.
I shot it with a dot with zero magnification. I struggle with a pin at 50 meters, but the same concept, kind of. Like, I could see literally the entire bell. Like, with magnification, you can sometimes just see your target. I could literally see the whole bell and, like, the target stand under it and everything last year.
So that's what I wanted. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, and we'll get into the ASA side of things. You know, the first two shoot downs, Foley and Fort Benning, you made both of those in the women's known pro, that new class, took second place in both of them. And we are hearing, you know, folks saying like, who's Madison Cox? Where's she coming from shooting this? But we've known about you. And I thought it was interesting that you always shot that hunter setup, and then we saw you come out with the open setup. So let's kind of backtrack a little bit. You are how old?
I'm 22. I just turned 22 in Turkey, actually.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, first of all.
Thank you.
And you just graduated from University of the Cumberland, correct?
Yes, with my undergrad. And I'm going to get my master's. So I'll still be here a year, but I actually walk at graduation tomorrow. And even though I graduated in December, I'm walking tomorrow.
Okay, gotcha. And your major was what? And what are you getting your master's in?
I was a double major in business administration and strategic communications. And then my master's is in business.
Okay. What's your plan? Let's stick with that a little bit. What do you hope to do one day besides be a professional archer?
Well, right now I work at S30A Archery, and I started out part-time there like 2 years ago, my sophomore year, I believe. And then I went full-time in January of this year. So I plan to work there for a little longer, and then maybe, I don't know, we'll just see how long that, like how long it works out with my archery and like travel and everything, which right now it is great. I seriously couldn't ask for a better like job to be like to help me with my schedule. But we'll see how that works and continue shooting as well.
I would certainly think that S3DA would be accommodating to you going out and shooting archery.
Yes, for sure. I seriously could not ask for a better job or like people to work with and be so helpful and like help me like when I'm gone, like they'll help like do what I'm supposed to do when I'm shooting and stuff. So
yes. And what do you do for S3DA? What's your job?
I work all things Sport 80 basically. So the memberships, the clubs, the coaching memberships, everything like that.
Yeah. Sport 80. Give them a brief description of what that is.
Well, everybody hates Sport 80. Yes. So I'm the one that they call and they're like, I really have to deal with this website again. And I'm like, if you'll just call me, I'll help you. You don't even have to log on. Like, we'll figure it out. So yeah.
It's the like training program to get for coaches for certification. It's all the things that you have to learn.
Take sport and background checks and the students having their memberships and what they have to register through and what the clubs have to register through and affiliate their kids through, basically.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but like you came up through S3DA.
I did, yes. That's where that's where my whole archery career started was S3DA.
And that's awesome.
So it's kind of cool that like I shot in it like kind of the end of my sophomore year and then my junior and senior year in high school. And now like I'm seeing the other side of it. And like I remember the little like kids when they were super little and now they're like in high school. And I'm like, there's no way you should be that big.
So how about for you now? Okay, you were coming up through S3DA. I'm sure you knew all about Paige Pierce, Tanya Galantine, and now you're out there competing with them.
Yes, it's crazy to me because like honestly, like okay, so my brother has like a World Archery, like a World Cup sticker on his door, like at home. From when like we first started archery, like he put a bunch of archery stickers on his bedroom door. And like back then we hadn't like I had no idea what World Cups were, like the 50 meter side of things really. And now it's like surreal that like I went to a World Cup, like I'm on the World Cup team. And like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, we had no idea what that was. And like looking up to Tanya and Paige and all them. And like now I shoot alongside them every weekend. And it's still surreal to me every weekend that I get to shoot with them and like learn from them.
Now you have a World Cup gold medal hanging in your house.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So let's talk about ASA then. You started shooting ASA in what division?
So I shot the high school pins class, the 30-yard class. And then I wanted to shoot the women's bow hunter class, the 30-yard class. I wanted to make money like my freshman year of college, like sophomore year of college. But college pins was 40 yards. So my dad's like, you're not going to shoot 40 yards in college and 30 yards at the ASA. Like, if you want to get better, you're going to shoot the 40 yards all around. So the high school pins 30 class, the women's bow hunter, the 40-yard class. And then I shot women's known 40. And then last year I shot women's known 45. And I actually shot all of it without magnification until like the women's known 45 class is when we kind of put magnification in there.
But you still had the more traditional bow hunter setup, short bars.
For most of them, yeah. Like last year, a little bit in the 45-yard class, like I'd put my long bar on for the ASAs for some of them. But I just, like, I did not like the long bars at all in the beginning. So, like, my dad really kind of had to, like, force me to just make that switch. And Eric Griggs was another reason. Like, he was like, you need to get rid of the short bars, like, he sees the potential in me and he's like, you really need to like go ahead and transition and get used to it to like help yourself out in the long run.
So you went from women's known 45 directly to women's known pro.
Correct. Yes, I did. Even though I was, really on the fence about shooting it this year, like at Foley, at the registration trailer. I was trying to like back out and shoot like the women's known 50 class. And my dad's like, do I really need to call Eric up over here? Cause like Eric would not be at. Eric like believes in me like more than I believe in myself most of the time. So he would not be happy if I shot women's known 50. So dad, like he had his phone up ready to call him. So I'm happy I picked the women's known pro.
Way to go, Dad. That's awesome.
Dad so, and Eric.
So the, so yeah, the women's known 50, that class still exists. That's the amateur division. It's the same distance that you're shooting now. It's just not the pro class. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The leaderboard's not out there to put that intimidation on you. And
so, yeah. So tell me about that then, going into shooting your first pro class there at Foley. What was that like?
Oh, it was kind of scary. I really didn't have any expectations, just like the first World Cup. I was just like going in with an open mind. And honestly, I got my shot tape like at Foley. We put it on at the picnic tables at the bags in Foley. And it somehow worked out. Like after the first day, I was on the leaderboard, not like at the top of the leaderboard, but on the leaderboard, you know. And then after the second day, I was like, oh, well, I'll probably have the, there was four of us at 18 up and Paige was like way up. So the four of us were tied and I was like, oh, well, if somebody else is at 18 up, I'll probably have the least amount of 12. So I'm probably out. Like, I was like, I'm probably getting to make the shoot off. And then they wrote all the scores up there and I was like, oh, I did make the shoot off. Okay. And I was super happy. And then we went and moved my indicator after the second round. So we moved it and then I was hitting like a little low. So that went in my favor in the shoot off. So it helped me hit some 12s and not aim in the safer side. So it worked in my favor.
So now, okay. So you go to your first professional tournament, you make the shoot down, then you have to go out on the floor there at Foley with everybody standing around. I would imagine that's nerve wracking, but you tell me.
It definitely was. So I had shot in that building with College Archery before because they do like a fun shoot in there. So I think that might have helped my nerves maybe just a little, but my rangefinder was still like, I could barely range the animals. I was like, I can't. So I was definitely nervous. My shot picture wasn't as bad as my rangefinder. If it would have been, it would not have been pretty.
And I'm correct. You took second in that one, right?
Yes, I did.
So, yeah. I mean, you come out there, your first tournament, you beat Tanya Galantine. There were a lot of other qualified ladies there. Danielle Woody, Hannah Moose were the others in the division. But, I mean, Tanya Galantine, Vegas champ. She's won stuff all over the World Cup. That's got to, I would imagine, that's got to feel good for your confidence.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, whoa, like I can actually compete at this level. Like, it kind of blew my mind, but I'm extremely happy. I'm like, I shoot with Tanya all the time. So, like, I know how good of a shooter she is, like, everywhere she goes. So, it was pretty cool.
So, then you go to Benning, and once again, you make the shoot down, take second place. That's got to be even more of a boost to your confidence. And that was after your World Cup. No, that was before your World Cup.
It was rough. Yeah.
Before. That's right. Right before the World Cup. Yeah. How did things feel at Benning?
Kind of just as crazy as Foley. Like, we just kind of, like, I didn't really practice 3D before Foley or Fort Benning just because my, like, I'm more focused on 50 meters right now, getting into the 50 meter season, and like I'm shooting more of that. So I was just kind of rolling with it and like making the best shots I could and hoping that I'd make the shoot off and then work my way onto the podium. And I did again, and I was super happy. I was still just as nervous in the shoot off, especially because that shoot off was a little windy and scores, like, we weren't all tied going into the shoot off. So like I knew I'd have to make up ground if I wanted to squeeze on the podium. And I shot a 12 on my last target, and that secured second. So I was happy with that. And I ended on the shortest target. So I was really happy about that, too.
So before I get into the next series, I wanted to, you mentioned your dad. And, of course, we go out on the ranges. We see your dad out there helping you. What's it like having him there at your tournaments, especially these ASAs where he can be right there on the range with you, you know, just being there supporting you?
Yeah. my dad's like my biggest support, and we're super close. So like whenever it's going really good on the range, like he's there to support me, or like if it's not going good, he's there to help me. And so like, I don't know, I really appreciate him, and he's super helpful, and there's no way I could do what I do without him. Like he bought me my first bow. So I used to cheer, like in high school I was a cheerleader, and he was like, if I bought you a bow, would you shoot it? And I was like, I don't know, Dad, like I'm a cheerleader, like that's not my type of thing. And so he finally went out on a limb and bought me a bow. And it's kind of crazy, like, that how many places archery's took me and, like, what it's done for me. So kind of crazy that I went from, like, cheerleader Madison to, like, professional archery Madison. Like, two totally different things, but.
So when he got your first bow, was it kind of one of those things where you just shot it and you were like, man, I really like this? Or did it take you a while to warm up to it?
Oh, it definitely took me a while. Like I hit a few trees along the way, and like I definitely probably missed the target more than I hit it when I first started. So like he got me the bow, and I practiced with it like on a Wednesday, and then like that Saturday we went to an S3DA shoot, and I was like, Dad, like I'm not ready for this. Like what do you? I hit like 112, and I don't know how I hit the 12. Like I still have a picture of it. It's funny, but it definitely took me a while, like to figure the archery thing out, and like. I like a lot of consistency, and I think like that's kind of where, like, I don't know, I learned that I like archery because it has to be consistent. And if you're not consistent, like if you're not doing the same thing over and over, it's not going to hit consistently. And I think I kind of jobbed with that and like kind of took off with that once I figured it out.
So when he got your first bow, how many years ago is that?
I think it was 5 or 6 years ago. It came up on my Snapchat memories the other day. It was an Elite, like a snow camo bow. And it was 5 or 6 years ago. I'm not sure which one.
So 5 or 6 years ago, would you have ever imagined that you'd be sitting here with two pro podiums and a World Cup gold medal? So if you go back 6 years and somebody said, Madison, this is what you're going to do in 6 years, what would you have said to that person?
I probably would have like laughed a little bit and been like, there's no way, like I'm not going to be good at archery.
So at what point did you notice, hey, I am kind of good at this, or I like it enough to keep working at it?
Probably when I got to college. Like I feel like it, like my senior year of high school, I started practicing a lot more. And then like when I got to college, it was kind of like a total like flip. Like I wanted to shoot. I wanted to get better. Like I wanted to learn. I practiced a lot more. Like, honestly, I practiced a lot more like my freshman and sophomore year of college, like those years, than I have like this year. And my dad tells me all the time, like, you need to go back to freshman year Madison and practice more. So I do need to listen to him on that. But I feel like life's just been, we haven't had time to be home and actually get good practice in.
So you, and I think I mentioned you went to University of Cumberland. That's where you're studying. Did you have one of the archery scholarships? They have a very famous archery team. Were you a archery scholarship athlete there?
Yes. So honestly, like when I was in high school, like I swear Strubeck went out on a limb and gave me a scholarship because the way I shot them, like there's no way he would be like, yeah, she's going to be good. But he did go out on a limb and gave me a scholarship, and it helped me a ton with my undergrad, and it's actually helping me with my master's too. I get those classes at a much better price. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they do for archery. I can't remember, but I saw you got like All-American. Is that, or whatever the term is there?
Yes. And I was, so we have athletic awards on campus. And I was Female Athlete of the Year this year at PATS Awards.
I know I've seen you won a bunch of stuff. I didn't know what exactly it was there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be All-American this year because I shot Bow Hunter the beginning of the year. And then I switched to compound in college for indoor and outdoor, like for the rest of my college career. So I'm not sure if that'll boot me out of that for not shooting indoor or not shooting compound in 3D. I get confused on what it goes off of. But
now, as a master's student, can you continue to compete for the team, or are you done with your eligibility?
Yes, so we get 5 years of eligibility. And so I'll be using my last year of eligibility next year during my master's.
Gotcha. And what is it that you like about the collegiate archery, that game?
Honestly, it's what has helped me like become the archer that I am today. Like normally we have practice 4 to 5 days a week, like sometimes four, and then when it's closer to tournaments, 5 days a week. Like we actually had practice this morning and getting ready for outdoor nationals. So I got up, got ready this morning, went to practice, and then came back and got ready for this. So and like we have practice like earlier in the morning now that classes are over. And so hopefully we can get some good calm practice in because the last few weeks have been super windy. So, but like really practicing all the time and like being around other archers that are really good, like, and that pushes you to be better and like you want to be better. So I think that's really helped me.
Outdoor nationals in collegiate archery, what is that game? Is that 50 meters as well?
Yes, yeah,
Okay,
it is.
same.
You shoot like a 72 arrow round, and then you have like team rounds, mixed team, individual eliminations, and they usually do like fun shorts for team rounds, and everybody goes crazy. But
And am I correct that you have won at those national tournaments through the years on teams and as an individual? Run through your kind of your winnings there in collegiate archery.
Even like I've shot bow hunter and compound now, and I've been to I think 10 national collegiate tournaments, and I've podiumed at all of them, and I have 7 individual national titles, and hopefully we'll continue that streak at outdoor nationals here in a few weeks. But I definitely have multiple team round medals and like mixed team medals, and we actually got our medals from indoor nationals today for like mixed team and team rounds, and then my individual national title. So it was, yeah.
That's awesome. We don't have collegiate archery up here in Pennsylvania, so it's, well, I shouldn't say that. There's that Penn College, they have a team. But when I went to school, ancient history, we didn't have archery as a sport. So it's cool to see, you know, a school like University of the Cumberland's, they're obviously all in on archery.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like college archery is like bigger in Kentucky because there's a lot of like smaller schools, bigger schools that have it. So, yeah, it's definitely bigger down here, I think.
Okay, now time to get serious, Madison. So this new class, Women's Known Pro, that was something that Paige Pierce fought for a long time. She wanted to see that. And then it started. And, you know, kind of not surprisingly, Paige Pierce has won everything in archery. She's kind of been dominating. And we've been hearing people say, oh, she's going to kill the class. But I know I talked to you and some of the other archers about it, who are in there competing with her, and that's not the, this isn't discouraging you. Tell folks what your attitude is when you see Paige shooting like that.
I think Paige is like really great, and like I think the other women will be able to compete with her in the 3D side of things. We just like we need to figure things out. Like for me, it's my first year shooting 50 yards at 3D. Like Tanya's more of a 50 meter shooter. Like there's a lot of us that like know we can compete with Paige. We just haven't figured out like the little things that Paige has figured out to make her so good. Like I don't like it's awesome that she's won all three. I don't really think it's discouraging, like you said. Like it all just makes us want to be better. Like it definitely doesn't make us hang our heads down. It's just like, dang, we want to get better. Like we want to learn from Paige and like know all the ins and outs that she knows because she definitely knows every single thing. Like she spends so much time figuring out her bows and like what she likes and what she doesn't like. And I think like that's some things that some of us, like I know I do, I need to figure out. Like, I like this, I don't like this, like, this works better, things like that.
And I mean, we saw it at this last one. I mean, Danelle had a chance at the end. Put the pressure on. It came down to last arrow. Paige had to hit a 14 to win. You know, it just as easily could have gone if she'd have been a little bit left or right, Danelle would have won.
I think that kind of proved to people because, like, when the leaderboards are posted for Women's Known Pro, like you'll see comments like, oh, like everybody else might as well go home. Like they don't have a chance. Like I think like Danelle, she shot her butt off. And I think it kind of proved like like she can compete with Paige, and like it is possible, and that she's not just going to hand our butts to us all year, that maybe somebody else will have a good weekend.
So people may not, and you know, we're talking about this about Paige. She'll be the first to tell you that, yes, yeah, she wants this competition. She doesn't want, she doesn't think it will continue this way, nor does she want it that way. She'd be just as happy if any of you won.
Yeah, she'd be just as happy for all of us to qualify just as high as she does and make the shoot off fun and interesting. Like, she would love for all of us to be able to go out there and shoot like 36 up, 40 up. Like, she would love that competition for sure.
Yeah. And last year she shot women's K50 and she didn't win them all. She did get, and of course there's no shoot down there, but I know for sure the last one, the classic, she did not win. So I mean, anything's possible in the game of archery, but as well as you ladies get better and better, that's going to chase her down.
And like you said, Paige would be just as happy, like for Tanya winning or Danelle winning, like any of us, like Paige would be just as happy because she sees like it helps archery grow. And like, she like loves supporting us and helping all of us out.
So I wanted to ask you, have being on the podium now, you know, folks have seen you on TV. Have you seen some residual effects of that? Like, are people calling you, or have, you know, folks come up to you at events and said, you know, hey, I like what you're doing. Got to see you out there. What's the reception been from your success so far?
Yeah, there's been a few of that. Like, always before at the ASAs, like some people would say hi and didn't know who they were, but like after Foley and Fort Benning, like I feel like it's definitely been more. There's been more people like say hey, or like send me a Facebook message or things like that, that I don't necessarily like know them, but like it's from like being up there in front of people, and they're realizing like who I am, I guess.
Right. I would imagine with that you're able to share your story with kids coming up just like you. Now you can say, hey, look, I'm living proof that this can all happen.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I work the S3DA national tournaments, they'll like come up to me and like ask for my signature and like, can we take a picture? And I was like, I remember when I used to shoot, or like, I wish I would have started shooting as young as you are. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you think if you had started earlier, maybe you'd be even more advanced than you are now?
I would like to think so, but I'm going to say, yeah, probably so. I really wish I would have started younger, like Paige and like everybody else. They're like, oh, I started shooting like when I could first walk, or like when I could pick a bow up, like really young. And I was like, I just wish I had like that, that much more experience. I feel like it would help me compete at this level a lot more if I had more experience than what I do have.
Now, do you the indoor game, Vegas and Lancaster Archery Classic? I think I've seen you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. So I made the cut at Lancaster this year in the pro class. And then I had Tanya first match and she shot really well. So she beat me. And then Vegas, this was my first year ever going to Vegas. So like, I didn't know what to expect. And my brother shot before me that morning. And he was like, my leg was literally shaking on the lawn. And I was like, mine's never done that. Like, my legs don't shake when I get that nervous. And I get down there first stand and my legs were literally shaking. Like, I've never had that happen before. So I didn't shoot well the first day or the second day, but I did shoot a 300 the third day. So that was kind of like improvement. Like, the nerves were kind of falling off. Like, I proved that I could shoot a 300 in Vegas. So hopefully there's more than one 300 in Vegas next year.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you, I have never shot Vegas. And when I walk down on the pro floor that you guys go on, I'm nervous. I'm not doing anything except walking around. And so, yeah, there's something. I don't know what it is. You hit that floor and the pressure just hits you.
Yep. There's no way to even describe Vegas nerves. Like, it's just Vegas nerves. And you just have to go experience, because everybody was like, oh, Vegas is different. And I was like, it can't be that much different. But I was really wrong.
So, and I, same with the shoot downs at the ASAs. Okay. The cameras are on, you got the crowd standing around, and you know, we saw some first timers at this last one in Minden out there. And a senior known pro is the one that strikes me, that there were a couple of new guys out there for the first time. And of course there's Tim Gillingham, who's been out there a million times. So I got to imagine the more you're in that situation, I don't know that you'll ever not be nervous, but probably a lot less.
I would like to think so, but I haven't been put in that position enough to say, like, yeah, it gets easier, I promise. But, like, those are definitely, like, as a professional archer, like, the moments you live for. And, like, they're just super exciting. And you're, like, after it, before it, you're, like, why do I do this to myself? Like, I'm so nervous. And then after it, you're, like, okay, yes, this is exactly why I do this, like, yep, that answers my questions. I don't have any questions as to why I put myself through this. But
so what do you see yourself doing for archery going forward? I mean, obviously this Women's Known Pro is a brand new class. You probably hang with that. But are the, you know, what you tell me, what do you see for yourself in archery going forward?
Definitely probably shoot indoor, shoot 50 meters in 3D. Maybe shoot some more indoor tournaments next year. I don't know. But definitely stay in all three and hopefully continue to improve at all three. So, I don't know. Yeah.
And you're shooting for Darton, which, you know, Darton, Randy Kitts has come on strong this year, added a whole bunch of archers, yourself, Tanya, Chance Boboff, of course, a bunch of them out there. Tell folks about those Darton bows. You know, they're kind of a lot of people my age. I know Darton because they were big when I was bow hunting and stuff like that. And then the brand kind of fell off a little bit. Randy's reviving it. But you tell folks, I mean, you're competing at the highest level with them. Obviously, they're good bows.
Yes, they can obviously perform like normally. So I switched to Darton. The first tournament I shot with the Tempest was in Chile last fall. So last November was the first time I'd ever picked up a Darton, like, at all. Like, first time I'd heard of Darton really was last year with, like, Jimmy and Danelle. And, like, and then Braden and Tanya switched this year. But I shot the Tempest and I really liked it. And then Braden and Tanya were like, you should try the Vegas. So I've been shooting the Vegas since I got right before Lancaster, I switched to the Vegas. And normally, like, I take a really long time, like, to adjust to a new bow. And with this one, I feel like I've adapted it, like, way quicker than I have previous bows. And, like, they can obviously shoot. Like, these bows are very tunable. Like, yesterday I was over at Gas with Eric Griggs and then Braden and Tanya. And we were switching some of my 50 meter arrows and like messing with my 3D arrows and tuning them. And like, you can obviously tell that they tune and like that makes things so much easier. Cause like, it's such like minor adjustments will tune and go a long way. So like, they're very tunable, very shootable. Like coming from somebody that doesn't like switching or doesn't like new bows, doesn't like anything like that. Like, I've loved my Dartons, and it's awesome what Randy's doing with the company and with bringing all these awesome shooters on board.
As you mentioned, you like consistency, like doing the same things with the same stuff, I'm sure.
Yes. My release is something like I do not like changing at all. So that's the one thing that's stayed the same since my previous bows. Like, I've switched arrows. I've switched, obviously, bars, long bars now. Switched bows, like, the only thing that stayed the same are basically my release and my strings and my sight. Well, I guess the sight's kind of different with magnification, but the strings and the release is the only thing that's perfectly the same as what it was.
Well, let's go through your equipment. What release are you shooting?
The HBC, the True Ball and Excel HBC with no click.
Okay.
So I shot it with a click and I got to the point where I would like jump when the click went off. So we had to take that out. But, and I used to shoot it super hot. And then, like, over Christmas break, like, it was super hot, but it wasn't going off how it should. So we made it colder. And I actually have to pull now. So I think that's helped me a lot, like, this season. is actually like activating the release and like pulling through it, as to where it's just being really hot and barely moving and it goes off.
Right. So I'm guessing you feel comfortable in your starting position. The click, no click, I use a click because I'm always afraid if I don't have that click, I'm not going to know where I am in the rotation. It's just going to go off. But I'm guessing you have perfected that.
I'm not going to say I've perfected it by no means. Like, I wish my shot time was better than what it is, but I just feel like mentally I couldn't shoot with a click. Like, it got bad during like indoor season, I think my freshman or sophomore year. And like, I don't know, I would aim, get to the click, and then re-aim and keep pulling. So like, I kind of done it backwards, and I would like jump almost, and it just made my shot process is already long, and it made it longer. So, yeah, we took it out, and it's helped for the most part.
It seems like it's working.
Yeah.
So then moving to your bow, what is your draw weight?
I think this one's like 57 pounds, and my holding weight's like 16 or 17, I think.
And your arrows, you said you were switching around. What do you shoot for 3D?
PS23s, Black Eagle arrows, yeah. And then the revelations for outdoor. Yeah. We actually cut down my 3D arrows yesterday to make them shorter and switch spines on revelations, and they seem to shoot better. So,
okay. I was going to ask, do you know what speed you're getting from your 3D bow?
I have not shot mine through a chronograph. I think my brother shot his Vegas through the chronograph, and it was like 255, 260-ish, but I honestly haven't shot my bow through a chronograph this year, so I don't know.
So, I mean, to that point, then, you don't care. If it hits where you want, that's all you care about.
Yeah, as long as I can get it to group and, like, I'm good with the poundage and good with the holding weight, which I'm picky about, I'm good with it. Like, yeah.
Gotcha. And now your sight and scope, what are you shooting there?
The Trueball XL like sight bar, and then I think it's a third. I don't know. Truthfully, I don't know if I'm shooting a 35mm scope right now.
I'm guessing the XL Achieve XP, the sight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then I'm shooting a 6 power lens for everything right now.
6 power. Okay. That's pretty.
So we went from like 0 to 6.
That's a good jump there. Talk about that. The first time you looked through a scope, that had to be.
So I guess we did kind of go slowly. So in Chile last year at the senior, like the Pan Am games, I shot like, I think it was a 3 power. And I was like, okay, like it magnifies my movement, but it doesn't really magnify the target. I was like, we do not get along. So we upped that more, and then I tried a 6, and I honestly shot a really scratched up lens at indoor. Like, somehow I scratched it a bunch. I left it in the middle of my car over change. I have like a little change compartment, and it slid around the change compartment like all the way home one day from school. And I was like,
just
oh, well,
the lens,
like, I'm gonna
in
yeah,
no case.
And my dad's like, you should really change that. And like the first arrow drawn back at Lancaster, like at the practice range, I could see all the scratches, and I was like, oh no, like what if I can see the scratches like when I qualify? But I didn't pay attention to them most of the time. So
you shot the classic with a scratched up lens.
Yep. In Vegas and indoor nationals and NFAA. Yeah, I shot it all.
Oh man, that's funny.
Yep.
That's perfect. I could just see it rattling around in the change cup in the car.
Oh, yep, it did. All the way from Cumberland to the home, it did. Oh, and all man. Season, my dad's like, I think you'd shoot better with a clear lens. And I was like, I think I like it being blurry. It's
okay. So that 6 power on 3D, I mean, which I'm guessing Benning was probably the darkest conditions that you had.
Yes, for sure. At Benning, I was like, I really think I want to change like my aperture size or something. Like, if everything was that dark, I would definitely struggle, which I think London might be a little darker. So that might be something I want to play around with before then, because I feel like I definitely, well, Louisiana was also dark. Camp Minden. That was super dark, the 7:30 round.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was cloudy in the morning. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that, yeah. So after that one, I think that might be something I want to play around with and see.
Yeah, because that power line in London, man, that's definitely
the
dark.
The dreadful power line, yeah.
Yeah, so, so the magnification interests me with the movement. Have you, you know, I've played with lens magnifications as well, and I discovered when I went to the higher power, you can see more movement, but then it also forced me to try to work on that movement to reduce it.
Yes, for sure. Like in the beginning, like over Christmas break when we kind of made my release colder from being so hot, the magnification is kind of what like pushed that issue to come about, I think. So I'd see more movement and like I'd just freeze up back here, like nothing would be going on. Like I'd just sit here and look at it. So I think seeing that, like seeing more movement made us like realize, like, I don't know, kind of put a magnification on my problem of not pulling, because I'd always had that. It just magnified it. So that really made me, like, me and Eric, like, spent some time together, and he was like, you, like, just when you see the movement, that doesn't mean stop pulling back here. Like, it's kind of like a work in progress. Like, keep pulling even though you see the movement. So I definitely had to work through that, like, at indoor and kind of with 50 meters. But I feel like it hit me more at indoor because that's the first time I'd seen, like, a 6 power at anything. So I definitely had to work through that, like, learning through, like, seeing the movement and realizing, like, it's okay to pull even though I see movement. If that makes sense.
So you mentioned that you don't really like the pin in your 3D setup. What's your aiming reference for 3D?
I do have a pin for 3D, but for everything else, I run a dot. Like indoor and 50 meters is a dot, but 3D is like, I have a blue pin right now that lights up really good. When I shot bow hunter in college, like, I definitely learned very quickly what color fibers I liked and what color fibers I didn't like.
So do you tend to run that high, like you make that thing bright, or do you like it less? What's your sight picture preference?
It's normally pretty bright, but like Camp Minden was darker. So I did catch myself like turning it down on some targets so the pin wouldn't like cover so much on the target. But, like, most of the time, like, if it's bright outside, like, Foley, I feel like I had it pretty bright and probably brighter than most people might like it. But I find that I like it brighter and bigger than, like, super dim.
Cool. Well, shifting gears a little bit, I wanted to pick your brain about, you know, and actually you're probably a good one to ask since you went from cheerleading to archery. How do you, like, do you see more young people your age, have you seen more folks like that getting an interest in archery? Or, you know, you're around the young people more than I am, let's be honest about that. I'm on the other end, and there's plenty of seniors out there, plenty of people my age out there, but I often wonder, you know, how folks your age, how people in high school get into competitive archery. You know, bow hunting, I get it. Lots of that, but the competition side, are you seeing more people getting involved, including with your work at S3DA?
Right. I definitely think like the S3DA, like the clubs are growing, like more clubs are popping up, like in some of our smaller states and even the bigger states, like I know like Kentucky and Georgia and like some states like that have definitely brought on board like a bunch of new clubs this year. So I definitely think like they're growing in the schools and like growing like in the younger kids where the clubs are at. But then I feel like once you get to high school, there's not as many that jumps on board to archery. Like once they're in a high school, like they're kind of set on what sport they want to do. But like you would think I would have been just stuck on cheerleading, but I was one of the few that actually like shifted gears and like shifted sports and stuff. But I definitely think like in the younger generations, like the younger kids, like those classes are growing and like they're like years from now, like they're going to be the ones in the pro class and they're going to be the ones like shooting professionally
Yeah, maybe by starting them young, maybe they will just keep it going through high school versus starting in high school. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I know for me personally, I got started bow hunting just like everybody else, but then I discovered, hey, I like shooting my bow. And if I go out bow hunting, I'm only going to get one shot if I even get that. 3D, hey, I know I'm going to shoot my bow 40 times.
Yeah, at least 40 times. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about known distance. You know, you're in the women's known pro. Talk about why you like that. You know, obviously you could go open pro, but you chose known pro. Talk about that side of it for you.
I feel like since I started, like, not like so late in the game, but like I started like towards the end of my high school years, that like I never learned to judge. So my brother, he's 17, and he shot the ASA classes whenever like the middle school open class was like one day unknown and one day known. So he kind of like had to learn to judge. And honestly, I wish I would have shot then. So I would have been forced to learn to judge at least one day, like one day known, one day unknown. It might have been really ugly, the unknown day, but at least I would have had that experience and like learned those days. But I'm definitely like a known person, like, in Foley, sometimes I'll just try to judge the targets. And in Foley, before we shot our first round, I judged like the first four or five targets on the practice range right. And I was like, maybe I should go change my registration to open pro. But I'm glad I didn't. Like, I don't think it would be pretty. I think maybe like if I get to the point where I can't compete in the known pro class, like in the women's known pro class, and after college and stuff, like I'll not try to judge, but I'm definitely not against like learning to judge. I just don't have the time for it right now and wish I would have learned at a younger age. But my brother went to the 3D World Championships in Italy last year, and that's completely unknown. And trials are coming up for that again next year. So I do think I'm going to try out for it. I can't guarantee it'll be pretty or anything, but I'm going to try to learn at least to semi-judge before that and take enough arrows in case like I need a ton of arrows.
That's the one, the trials that they always have at London before that shoot. Yeah, okay. And he made the team. All right.
Yep. He made it at 16. And then at 17, he just made the Youth World Archery Championship. So he'll go to Ireland this summer. So I'm super jealous that he's getting all these experiences and being so young. And meanwhile, at that age, I was like barely hitting targets. But
so what's that like being in a, now, does your dad shoot when he comes with you? I forgot to ask
he
that.
He doesn't. No, okay. He doesn't. So he's just like he's like the coach, the support person, like the driver, the everything we need, basically. He's there for it.
So what's it like in an archery house like that, where you got two kids super involved in archery? I picture like bows laying everywhere, fletching stuff on the kitchen table, all that.
You're literally describing it. Like the kitchen table is full of archery stuff. Like that's where Dad fletches the arrows. Like we have bow hangers at the end of the hallway with bows hanging on them. Like, it's definitely archery stuff everywhere, like Robin Hooded arrows that we shot when we first started shooting that were super cool in our rooms. And I don't know, it's definitely like we're very competitive with each other. Like at every ASA, it's like, oh, like my brother normally beats me. There's been like two ASAs in my entire life that I've beat my brother. So
what's his name?
Landon.
Landon, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to watch for his name too then.
He shot, he's shooting women's, or not women's, my bad, known 50 this year. And he won Fort Benning in known 50.
He did? So, wow, that's a stout class.
Yeah, he's shooting a Darton too, so it's kind of cool that we're shooting the same bow company for now.
Yeah, yeah. So I imagine known pro is probably in his mind.
So I do think he'll have to shoot pro next year because he has like $130 maybe or something like that to win out. But he could definitely go either way. Like he's not just like, oh, I'm going straight to gnome pro. Like, it's still in his mind that he might go open pro since he can't judge, and like he enjoys it. So I will be very interested to see which road he goes down.
Yeah, that would, yeah, obviously he can shoot, which that's 90% of the problem there. Do you have a range at home? Like, do you practice on ASA 3D targets?
So I honestly have hardly been home this semester. Like, I've been at school if I've not been at tournaments. But like most years, yeah, like right now we have like, I don't know, 10 or 12 like 3D targets like in our backyard, like near like a wood line. And so normally, like when I was in high school, like I'd come home from school and go out there and shoot. So we do have targets that we practice on most of the time when life's not chaotic.
Right. At the Cumberlands, do they have the ASA 3Ds that you can shoot?
Yes.
They do.
So
Okay.
our 3D season is in October, like August to October. So it makes for a super long 3D season for any collegiate archers with Foley in February. And then Collegiate 3D Nationals in October back in Foley. So super long season, but during those months we set out targets every day, like on a range, and we shoot those like usually Monday through Friday.
Gotcha. So, Madison, when you, I mean, archery is so much of your life. Is there anything that you like to do that isn't archery?
Archery basically consumes my entire life, but I do like to go to the gym when I'm, yeah, I do like to go to the gym when I'm actually home, and that helps like keep me on the schedule. But besides like the gym and hanging out with my friends that are on the archery team at Cumberland's and working, like that's about all I get to do. Yeah.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Madison Cox, first off, congratulations on all your successes so far this year. We're looking for definitely much more in the future, but thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks so much. I had so much fun.
All right, folks, the Competition Archery Media Podcast you can find on all the platforms, wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for joining us.